So let's first of all talk about yesterday, because obviously you raised a few eyebrows and as you stood to speak about guns on college campuses.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah. Glad to do that for you.
My poor staff, the phone was lit up. But what we had yesterday on the Senate floor was a bill that we've been discussing for over 2 years now, which is to require college campuses to permit concealed handgun license holders on campuses. And I voted against it 2 years ago, and unless it's amended, I will probably vote against it again. And I was debating Senator Wentworth on whether this would really two issues, whether it would really make Texas A&M campus safer, and I don't think it will. And secondly, the majority of the people on campus aren't even eligible to have a concealed handgun license. So is it a good law when almost everybody that's on the campus can't get a license? And it's because of age or nationality.
Sure. Let's talk. I'd like to talk a minute to get your response on, obviously, as they're trying to get the federal budget taken care of, they're talking about block granting money to the states now. We talked to Congressman Flores about it this week. I know this is something that, with Medicare and Medicaid, something that we had talked about before the session even started. I know 17 states have already said they're against it. Where is Texas going to come in the idea of having a chunk of money coming from D.C.?
We would raise the flag and salute and sing hallelujah if the federal government would do that. Medicaid is the biggest health care program that the state and the federal government work together to support, and it is fundamentally flawed. It is written as an entitlement, and there is no way to control the costs. And if we don't change Medicaid, and we will inevitably bankrupt ourselves. And so the idea of block granting it is basically to say, here's how much money you've got to run a healthcare system for the poor. Y'all figure out how to do it. That would be a major, major improvement in improving the financial stability of this state.
You know, I was looking at a report from the American Enterprise Institute, and they said that Texans spent $31 million on Medicaid drugs more than they needed to because they had to buy name brands. Will part of this change be that comparable generics will be considered for purchase instead?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I hope so. I mean, right now, since Medicaid is free to the beneficiaries, there's no incentive to control costs. And since the federal government has declared it an entitlement, there's no incentive to control eligibility. It is completely out of control because there are no incentives or fiscal restraints on cost or eligibility. And one of the things I just add to that, we've got what I think are three fundamental structural problems that we have yet to adequately address, and before this session is over, we have to. One of them is Medicaid, the other one is the public school finance laws, and the third one is the state's business tax. And if we don't address those issues, then the deficits that we're fighting right now will triple in 2 years. And so instead of having a $4 billion shortfall in the current biennium, it'll be about 15. And we really will get in a financial ditch. There's fundamental structural problems with all three of those things, the business tax, the school finance laws, and Medicaid.
Now, and I know you're going to need to talk to the governor about this pretty quickly so that I think pretty much in your words, you don't continue to kick this can down the road.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the discussion. I'm going to talk to the governor next week. And even with all this rhetoric about cutting spending, it is camouflaged the underlying structural problems that are creating this tension between not enough revenue and too much spending. And neither the House or the Senate at this point has addressed those structural flaws, the statutory requirements that say you must do this, you must spend this, you cannot collect this, is something that when the economy was strong, we were able to paper over it because the economy was throwing off a lot of tax revenue. But now that the economy's weak, we can't, and we have to fix it, or else we really will be in fiscal trouble.
You know, one of the things that I believe that y'all have discussed is the idea that individual school districts not be able to offer tax abatements to bring business in. Instead, that'll be elevated to the state level. Maybe not shut it off completely, but at least winnow it down some.
Well, those 313 tax abatements are very controversial, and the people that benefit from them like them, but the people that don't receive them... And don't even know about them are actually paying for them. I mean, it's the same old argument that if you're going to ask people to pay property taxes and then you're going to turn around and exempt a certain selected few, what you've really done is you've created a subsidy. And subsidies, I think, are always inefficient, and they always create distortions in the market. And if you subsidize one group, inevitably, another group has to pick up the load. They're very controversial. People claim that 313 tax abatements were essential for basically bringing the Toyota plant in San Antonio and the wind power generation that we've created in West Texas. That's the argument for them. I'm not sure it's correct, but that's the argument for them. But at the end of the day, 313 tax abatements is another example of a system that's unstable, which is basically got statutes that say spend more and more money, and then we have other statutes that say collect less and less. And those two, if you do that, there's no solution to your problems.
When we spoke last week, I think you said you're 2 weeks away from having a Senate bill for the budget. Is that still on track, or are we going to have to amend that?
Yes, sir. It's on track, although it's like everything else. We're going to have to start making some really significant and controversial decisions. But the plan is, and I think there's a pretty good chance that right before Easter, we'll be able to vote a budget out of the Finance Committee and send it to the floor.
Finally today, Texans want to know if the Senate's going to let them drive 85 miles an hour. You know, the House passed that.
No.
Okay, that's not going to pass in the Senate?
I don't think so, although the thing may be bracketed for something like I-10
headed out west or something?
I-10's not on. Doesn't go through Marfa.
Okay, but
maybe bracketed for West Texas. I don't know. I haven't seen the law. 85 is pretty fast,
yeah.
and it'll be pretty dangerous in areas where there's high traffic numbers.
Well, obviously, to solve a problem, the first thing you got to do is define it. It's obvious you've done that, and you've got three pillars that we need to structurally change if we're going to be on a sound footing, I guess, down the road, huh?
In the future, yes, sir. That's what I believe.
All right, we'll talk about that next week. Hey, thanks for the time, and once again, congratulations on the event coming up about noontime.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you, Steve. See you.
Bye. Bye.